On with Mario Lopez.
What's up, y'all? Mario Lopez. Joining me now in studio, Grammy-winning singer and songwriter Scott Stapp. Welcome to the show, man.
What's up, man? Good to see you.
Good to see you too, brother. You look good.
Thank you, man.
You look good. And we were just talking about training and working out and stuff. Well, you look like you've really kept it dialed in. Well, what kind of workouts do you like to do?
The last 5 years, man, I've really, really focused on just health, wellness, fitness, diet.
Making health a priority.
Yeah, big time.
There you go.
And I have turned into some crazy avid runner. And you know, I do a lot of calisthenics just after a run, just basic push-ups, sit-ups, you know, do yoga with my wife, but basically I'm a runner, man. And I've gotten addicted to it, dude. And I run,
that's the best habit
five to 8 miles every morning, like clockwork, dude. You know, it's just don't feel right if I don't do it.
Yeah. Know? Right. So, I always feel like I don't really wake up until I break a sweat.
Yeah, man. Me too. Same thing.
And congrats. Cause you said the last 5 years. So that's about what? 5-6 years of sobriety now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. It was
nice,
part of my life change.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up an athlete. Was an athlete in high school, an athlete my freshman year in college, and then went off to the music deal and kind of completely lost track of how I thought I was going to live my life, you know, so kind of came back to who I was as a person years later and got back into where my life began. And
what sports were you playing as a?
I played baseball, basketball, and football. Okay. My primaries were baseball and basketball. And my college scholarships were in baseball.
Nice. Where'd you grow up?
Yeah, in Florida.
Okay, what part?
Yeah, Orlando.
Oh, right in Orlando.
Yeah,
okay.
Man.
Just got back from there.
Yeah.
Spent a week there, right there. Oh, from Orlando, Florida. And the newest single is Survivor.
Survivor, yeah.
So is that autobiographical?
You know what? It is. It's totally autobiographical, but it's also an anthem I think anyone can relate to who's overcome something in life or facing challenges in life. You know, it's meant to inspire. It's meant to bring hope and just, you know, having kind of a swag to how you look at the demons that you've conquered in your life. Mm. You know, not looking back with regret and shame, but just kind of looking at them. And in the chorus, I say, how you like me now?
There you go.
You know what I mean? It's like, and that can be if you've overcome cancer or you're fighting cancer, you know, if you're coming out of a battered relationship or if you've overcome addiction, depression, or any adversity in life. Sure. It's really kind of an anthem for that. And so, yeah, it was a personal anthem for me, but I'm really hoping it connects with other people as well.
Yeah, everybody's battling something.
Yeah, man, at some point.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And it's from your latest solo album, which came out this last summer.
Yeah.
How have fans been responding to the new stuff?
Dude, I have been blown away, man, by the response. I didn't know what to expect. It had been so long since I had put out a record. And I'd gone through so much, you know, publicly, you know, after my last solo record came out. So I really didn't know.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have it be my, you know, to have it chart so high and do so well right out of the gate.
It's and then, feeling.
You know, how it was received at radio. It was I was just humbled by the whole thing, man.
Yeah. And what about touring? You planning on hitting the road at all this year?
Yeah. You know, I toured extensively, you know, prior to the album coming out and then through, you know, November of last year. And so we're gearing up again now to head out,
nice.
When the single launches and we've got, you know, a summer tour plan. We've got a European tour plan. So a lot of things ahead, man.
You'll be hitting the road then. Yeah. Congratulations too. I know you and your wife just celebrated your 14th anniversary.
Yeah, man. Actually today is the 6th. It's in 4 days. So 4 days, we're 14 years, man.
14 years.
Yeah,
and how does it feel? I know you refer to her as your Sharon, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, I do. What Sharon was to Ozzy during his tough time, she has been to me, man. She's been my rock, man. She stood by me. You know, she had faith in me and believed in me. She knew who I was inside, you know, before addiction and some other health issues set in and she had faith that I could overcome it and she stuck by me and you know, she's a rare breed, man. And
can't ask for anything else.
No,
from
man.
A woman. That's the best.
Yeah.
How bad did it get, Scott, when you were addicted? How bad?
Yeah, it got bad, man.
Really?
Yeah, it got bad. You know, it, you know, it was a lot of it was behind the scenes for a while, but you can only hide it for so long. Yeah. And so things began to get public, you know, and, you know, it was killing me.
Just certain trappings from being on the road and with the success.
I think it was a combination of just the rock and roll lifestyle. Sure. And then you mix that in with battling depression, and, you know, start self-medicating, you know, so you're taking the party that was for fun. And then you're taking it, you know, behind the scenes just to try to feel better.
Right.
You know, and that's when the cycle, you know, started, and then you're just in this vicious cycle, and it just spiraled out of control, bro. And you know, I'm just thankful to be here today and to be sober and healthy and have this new lease on life and doing what I love.
Yeah, man. Good for you to be strong enough. Yeah. You appreciate everything.
Absolutely, man.
And you also have your With Arms Wide Open Foundation and are a spokesperson for the Child Fund. Tell us about it for those who aren't familiar.
I started the With Arms Wide Open Foundation in 1998. You know, the song came out around the same time, but I really have always had a heart for kids and young people and children in need. So for years and years, I worked with food banks in every city that I would tour in. You know, I did things for children and families, that were in need, that would reach out, and just wherever my heart would kind of pull me and take me, and wherever I saw a need, I wanted to get involved. And so over the years that's evolved, into me partnering with an organization called Child Fund, which is helping children all over the world.
Awesome.
Who are in desperate need and who just need a chance.
Yeah.
You know, you know, I've gone and visited some of these places that we're helping raise awareness on and helping to, you know, fund these kids and give them a chance at life. And they really are, you know, they're born into situations where they have no opportunity, and they just need a chance. And so it's amazing to be a part of something that's bringing hope, those kids.
Good for you. You know? Right on. Speaking of that song, David Grohl recently said that Arms Wide Open, is one of his favorite songs. Which is kind of cool to hear when you hear
artist, dude.
Right there. When did you realize that song was going to be a hit?
Man, it happened so fast. I knew it was special the day that we wrote it. It was written during a sound check on stage, I believe in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, like literally right after I found out I was going to be a father for the first time. And I knew it was special to me, but I didn't know immediately that it was
going to resonate
or impact how it did with the world. And, you know, so all these years later, you know, to have, you know, Dave say something like that, the legend that he is, you know, even Jimmy Fallon for years, you know, would poke fun and kind of sing that song imitating my voice, you know, SNL did it too, kind of skits and whatnot. And then I'm watching Jimmy Fallon one night a few years ago, could have been longer than a few years ago. And he was like, guys, I got to tell you this story. Cause you know, I've kind of, you know, been ribbing Scott Stapp for a number of years about this song. And he had just had his first child, I guess, around that time. And he was in like a Walmart at like 1 a.m. getting diapers or something. And he's in there and he said the song came on, and for the first time, you know, after years of hearing the song, it finally hit him, and he finally, like, it connected with him. And he said like tears came down his face, and he finally got it. And I was like, I knew it was just a matter of time.
That's great.
You know what I mean? Because he could finally relate. Yeah. You know, he had a child, and like the sentiment of the song finally connected with him.
Yeah.
Whereas before, you know, it didn't. So, you know, that's the beauty.
That's the beauty of music.
Of music right and how there can be times in your life where you don't, you know, you may not get a particular song, but then you go through an experience and then it resonates with you.
Exactly.
So it's one of those things.
There's many songs like that.
Can I ask about the music video for that? Because we watched it again this morning.
Yes.
What is the significance of the meteors hitting everywhere?
You know, you'll have to ask Dave Myers, the director.
Dave was luckily, none of them hit you in the video, but
the director of that, that was his call. On that particular thing, I think
it was like, okay, cool.
I think it was just
it looked cool.
I think it was just some excitement.
Yeah.
Sure. You know what I mean? Just some like rock and roll flair. Like, hey man, let's have some meteors.
I got to tell you before I forget one moment that I thought was very cool. totally not music related, but was it Fred Durst that called you out? And then you called him out to step in the ring. I'm like, yeah. I like Scott, man. Yeah. That was dope. I said, I like that.
That was funny. That all.
Remember that?
Yeah, that all happened because, to go back on that story, we were doing a show here in LA. It was a radio festival.
Yeah.
And we were headlining, and he was opening up for us. And he was upset that he was opening, but the way that they determine who opens is album sales in the market.
Sure.
Okay. So we had outsold him in, you know, LA, and that's the only way they set the bill. And so he was upset about that, and a lot of things happened. And so he was like not going on stage. And so I sent, my agent came over, and he's like, hey, Fred, it's like not going on stage. He doesn't want to, you know, he wants to play, he wants to headline.
Oh my God.
And I'm playing video games, and I have like my 3-year-old son sitting next to me, or 2-year-old son. I'm like, that's fine. Go ahead and tell him he can go on, you know, or we'll go ahead and go on. He can headline. I didn't care.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't good enough.
What? That's what he wanted.
And so I had someone run to the bookstore and get a book, an anger management book, as a joke. And I wrote, to Fred, I hope this helps, you know, love you, brother. Yeah. And they brought it to him in catering.
He didn't like it.
He didn't get the joke. I guess he didn't like it. What's funny is, though, is I think the tour that he went on and like headlined his own tour, like after that, was called the Anger Management Tour.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
And I never got credit for that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway, so I think it was more just, you know, for fun. I don't think there's any seriousness to it, but I did say, hey man, let's settle this in the ring, brother.
I know, I respect that. My money's on you, by the way.
Let's do it. But I think it was more fun, man. He's a good dude. I got a lot of respect for Fred.
That's cool. I just remember that moment. Yeah. It's so funny.
It was funny, man. Those were the days in our 20s, bro.
Yeah. Oh, I know that. Yeah. You mentioned your kid. How many kids do you have?
I have four.
You have four. Okay. How
four
old are they?
Four kids. 21, 13, 9, and 2.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. You done?
I'm done, man.
Yeah. Four is a good. Wow. That's good.
I always said I wanted to have a basketball team.
Yeah.
So five.
You play the
fifth one. At least a starting five.
Right.
You know, my wife and I have decided that we're good right where we're at right now.
That's great, man. And you actually, I heard you coach your son's little league in football and basketball teams.
Yeah, man. I love coaching.
It's cool, right?
It's a great way for us to share experiences and have these moments that you just cannot replace. You know, I'm coaching him, and he gets like a, you know, he'll hit a double and not knock a run in, and his first look is like right at me, and it's like this face and this little fist pump thing, and I'm looking at him like that, and that's like a priceless moment.
He'll
never forget. He's nine.
Yeah, see, mine's six, and I two coaches, wrestling team, but we butt heads a lot.
Yeah.
He doesn't want me telling him anything. And I get so frustrated.
See, my first one was like that. He didn't want me telling him anything.
Yeah.
But Daniel, my 9-year-old, was my second son. He's all about, like, I'm a superhero.
Oh, right good. Now. Hopefully my second son's like that too.
Whatever I tell him to do, like if I told him, hey, if you go out there and you tap your head 3 times and rub your belly and then spit to the left and spit to the right, I guarantee you'll get a hit every time. He'd be the crazy kid sitting there doing exactly what I told him to do.
Oh, see, that's
so
best.
I'm loving it. You'll get it with Sonny.
I'm loving that right now.
Yeah, we'll see
how long that lasts.
You're right. It is a priceless moment, though. All right. I want to put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers, okay? Kids' favorite music artist?
My kids?
Sure.
My kids' favorite music artist? Man. Probably Post Malone. Yeah.
Hopefully dad's followed.
Ariana Grande.
There you go.
You know what I mean?
Like there you go.
I did go to an Ariana Grande concert with my daughter.
So did I.
Yeah. And I was the only dude there.
Right. Exactly.
It was good though. She had a good time.
Movie you can quote the most.
Wow. Nacho Libre.
Nacho Libre. Never made a sequel either. They should have gone with
the sequel.
They wrapped up the story in the first one. You didn't need more.
Song that you wish you wrote.
Oh, man. Song I wish I wrote. Light My Fire.
Jim Morrison, Little Doors right there. Okay. A long one.
Yeah.
Celebrity crush growing up.
Celebrity crush growing up. How far back do you want me to go?
You know, like, what are your formative years? Like junior high, high school?
Junior high, high school. Oh, man. That's a tough one. I'm trying to think.
Okay, back. As an adult.
I'm trying to think back because I know when I was like 10 or 11, like, they snuck me in to see 10 by Bo Derek.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, oh, my God. So I think that was a crush, but I was like too young to really understand what was going on. Let me see. Heidi Klum, maybe, when I was like younger growing up. Like, okay. She was a big fashion model, I guess. Or
you like the blonde.
Cindy
like
Crawford. Or,
all right.
One of those supermodels. I don't know.
All-time favorite baseball player.
Oh, man. Derek Jeter.
You're a Yankee guy, huh? Oh, yeah, okay.
I'm actually a Dodgers fan, but
you're a Dodgers fan.
He's one of my all-time faves.
Oddest thing on your tour rider.
Oddest thing on my tour rider at this point in my life. Rice cakes. I don't know, man.
On that note, what was the oddest thing back in the day?
Oh, man, do I want to say that on air? There was some crazy stuff. Yeah.
We'll leave it at that. Meanwhile, alanmorey.com for Scott's tickets and tour dates. Thanks for stopping by, man.
Dude, thanks for having me, man. Good to see you.
You too, brother.
On with Mario Lopez.